Amen. Amen. Well, church, who's the man? Hello, everybody. How y'all doing today? Very good. We want to welcome everybody watching online, watching in our micro sites around San Diego and Coronado, my boys and girls, and Coronado, my peoples. How y'all doing? And North County, East County, God bless y'all. Let's give everybody a hand out there. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. A couple of quick announcements. One, we signed a contract with San Ysidro High School to have our next campus down in San Ysidro. So that will happen this year. Amen. That will happen this year, August, September, fall-ish, and we're very excited about that. And we also are looking for another, we're real close to another building south of the 8 as well for our next site. So, but this fall, we're going to have another campus. As of Thursday night, 11:03, my wife and I are grandparents. Amen. We want to show you. There's my man. Miles Spencer McPherson Jr. He's my son's junior, and he is blowing up my Instagram. that dude's got more hits in two pictures than I've got like in a year. So he's if you're on Instagram, Miles McPherson, you can find me. But we're gonna be just putting pictures of him. I really don't have a whole lot to say because it's like it's a speechless experience. You just look at him and just. Stare and you stare and you stare and he doesn't do anything. I was like, it's perfect. You know, he actually did say grandpa. He did say that. I told his parents. I said he said grandpa. Hi grandpa. He doesn't know y'all yet. He just knows me. You know, he's perfect. I don't know what to say. We were in the waiting room for. 13 hours, something like that. You know that labor takes a long time, and you know she's like 3-4 centimeters or whatever. I can't remember what it was, and we're like, we gotta go. And it's like, brother, it's not gonna be for another whole day before she has the baby. But we went to the hospital and we got there and we said to the nurse, okay, when is it coming? She said, well, you know, probably. And this is like 11 o'clock in the morning. Probably like 8 or 9 tonight. We're like. Okay, and we're like pins and needles every second. It ended up being 11:03 at night. And we're just like in the waiting room like this. and they said, when you hear, you know, delivery to room, whatever, whatever, that's when you know it's happening. And so then it happened. Delivery comes, another hour goes by. But we walk in a room, and when they were two people, now they're three. And it was just awesome. So, anyway. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. You can call me Grandpa if you want. I'm not old, but I'm just Grandpa. Lord, thank you so much for life. Thank you for our life, and thank you for opportunity to know you and to walk with you. And we pray you bless our family and bless all the people we're going to pray for today. And just thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we get into our message today, last week I told you I was going to talk about pray for healing, but we're going to do something different today. We're going to talk about our mission here at the church, so we're real clear on who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. But before I do that, I do want to pray for sick and pray that God would bring healing to people's lives. My grandson, when he was in the womb, he swallowed something and he went to ICU right after, and he's been in ICU ever since. I've only seen him 30 minutes or so, and so we want to pray for him. But also, there were two people on our staff who had babies, and one of them was in ICU right next to my grandson, literally, like right there. Little Wheaton was born premature, 4 pounds. 4 pounds, 15 ounces. And then there's another baby, Samuel. He was born 1 pound, 2 ounces. And he's in another hospital, Samuel Avery. And he's doing great. They're both doing great, but we want to get him out, pray them out of intensive care. The same day that my grandson was born, my mom, who's sitting right here, was also went to the doctor, and they told her that she most likely has breast cancer. And so we want to pray for her, and we believe that that breast cancer is, they're going to tell us Tuesday exactly what the deal is, but they're 95% that that won't be a problem for us. And but I also asked you to bring people, I can't remember what service, to bring people that were sick, that we wanted to pray for them or whatever. So we want to do that, and I want to do that, then I'll get into my message. When you pray for people to heal, it is always God's power. It is 100% God, okay? That we have the power. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the power that the Holy Spirit gives you, he doesn't give it to you and let it go. It's his. And it is the ability to transform you and to work through you to transform other people. He does all the work. We are just the ambassador. We are an ambassador. We have no power in of itself. If you go to the embassy, the U.S. ambassador all over the world, they have no power. They just represent power. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the power, but it's really the Holy Spirit. Is that clear? And every time someone gets healed or saved or anything, it's 100% God. God says, you shall receive power when you have the Holy Spirit. We also have the authority to use that power according to the will of the Father. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, Matthew 28:19. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so not only do we have the power through the Holy Spirit, we have the authority. So when you pray in Jesus' name as a believer, you are coming as Christ would come, and you are praying with the authority that Christ gives you, with the power the Holy Spirit provides to you. And you always want to do it according to the will of the Father. Jesus said when he would heal people, he says, I only do and say what I see the Father saying and doing. And so we're just going to pray that God's will be done in your life, whether you're sick or if God wants to give the deaf hearing, the mute to speak, the blind to see, it's all up to him. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to pray for you. But here's what I want to do. If you are sick or you want prayer for anything or anyone, just raise your hand. Okay, everybody. So here's what we're going to do. That's fantastic. Here's what's going to happen. I don't want you to get weirded out, but in the Bible, a lot of times they would lay hands on people, not all the time. Jesus prayed for people that weren't even there. He would say to the centurion's servant, he says, go back, he's healed. And he went back and he was healed. Because the centurion came, Christ said, will you pray, can you come heal my servant? He said, I don't need to come to your house, he's already done. So you don't need to put hands on people, but if you are with somebody you know, I just want you to, with the person you know, just... If someone puts a hand in you that you don't know, feel free to say no. Christian or not Christian, don't. And by the way, if you ever want to pray for somebody in public, you want to ask permission. Do you mind if I put my hand on you? And you put it on the shoulder, something very innocent. Don't be taking advantage. Hey, girl, you know. My wife's always like, lay hands on me, husband. You know, I'm like, okay. But. You just want to, if they're your friend, you can just, you know, put your hand on their shoulder, whatever you want. But if you don't know them, do not touch them. But if you have no one, are you following what I'm saying? Okay, you get it. So just put your hand on them. I'll just stop right there. Just put your hand on them. And what's going to happen is I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I'm going to ask you if you, like, have an injury that you can see if God healed it. And if he did, just raise your hand. We want to celebrate with you. Okay? Fair enough? Now, the reason we do that is, especially when you pray for somebody, you want to ask them how they're doing. Because if you're praying, believing something could happen, see if something happened. It's easy to say, pray, amen, and walk away. Then you don't have to be accountable. But it's not really you, it's God. But if you're not worried about your ego because nothing happened, then ask. But if you're worried about, if it's about you, you won't want that risk that nothing may happen. Okay? So you just want to say how you feel. Okay? Amen? So I prayed for my wife last night. She had lower back pain. And she felt a lot better, and I prayed again. Jesus prayed for a guy who was blind, and he said, how are you feeling? I don't know exact words, and he says, well, I see people like trees. And just Jesus prayed again for him. Okay, so it's just, you know, we're just going to, just a faith thing, okay? Amen? So if you're with somebody that you know, just put your hands on them, and that kind of represents God's hand. There's nothing magical about it. It's just stuff they do in the Bible. Amen? And if you don't know them, don't touch them. You can lift your hands towards them. A lot of y'all out of y'all. Okay, let's all pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God who heals. Holy Spirit, we invite you to touch us. We thank you for the power you give us. We thank you for the authority that Christ gives us. And we come in agreement with the Father. Father, we pray you glorify yourself. We pray you heal. We come in agreement and declare cancer to leave. We command illness to leave. May the deaf hear. May cripples walk. We pray for the mute to speak. We pray for the brokenhearted to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, very simple. If you feel like, hey, I have my leg, my knee hurt, and it doesn't hurt anymore, whatever, just raise your hand. We want to just celebrate with you. Anybody feel a little better about anything? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, very good. Let's give them a hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? So guess what? I'm not embarrassed. So you should not be embarrassed. You just pray and you move on. I had a person text me from last service, a lady who used to work here. I've known her since she was in high school. Her last name was Medina. Her maiden name is Medina, so I call her Funky Cold. I've been calling her for like 5 years. So she said, it's Funky Cold. And she told me that God healed her. So you may later on go, hey, wait a minute, my leg. And my leg, whatever. And give glory to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. One more time, all churches say, word. Very good. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke, I am your father. Luke 5. I'm going to read something to you from Matthew, but turn to Luke.
I'm so confused.
Luke 5. Right before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the church its orders. He said in Matthew 28:19, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say all authority. All authority. The devil has no authority over you unless you give it to him. And what I mean by that is you submit yourself to him by living his lifestyle, and then he will destroy your life. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you, and lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. Now, the church's mission is to make disciples. So go make disciples of all nations. Now, in every business or enterprise, you should have a very clear mission, which is your business, and then a very clear vision, which is what it looks like if you fulfill your mission. Okay? Your mission is your business, and a vision is a picture of your preferred future. And your preferred future happens if your business is done properly. For example, McDonald's business, they're in the food business. Okay? The San Diego Chargers are in the entertainment business. Apple is in the technology business. Are you following me? Okay, so you always want to know with business. The church is in the disciple-making business. Not in the develop a big crowd business. This is a means to an end. But this is not the business. This is just part of it, okay? We're not in the necessarily building business. That is a tool. This building is a tool. It's a resource. But the business is disciple-making that Christ would change people's lives. That is very important for you to understand, because when you come to church and give your life to Christ, that now that's your business. You need to be discipled and then be a disciple-maker. That's your business. That's what Christianity is. It's not check the box, I'm going to heaven, I'm in a disciple-making business. Multiplication. You follow me? A baby being born, ironically, God created a man and woman to be married and then to be multiplied and have a baby. The man represents Christ. The woman represents the church in the Bible. God created it that way. And then the church and the bride, they make another one. It's called disciple-making. That's what birth is. One of the many metaphors of having a baby is that you're making someone in your image, just like God made you in his image to make a disciple. And so the church is in the disciple-making business, and now a vision is a picture of your preferred future. In other words, how many of y'all want to lose weight? Raise your hand. Okay, man, we got a lot of want-to-lose-weight people in San Diego. The last service, oh, if you want to lose weight. How many of y'all want to gain weight? Okay, always less people. Okay, it don't matter. Lose weight, gain weight. what your vision is a picture of what you want to look like when you either lose or gain the weight you want. So if you're overweight, you want to get a picture of yourself. I mean, it's just an idea. Doctor it up to look like what you want to look like. You know, lipo it out in the picture. Put your abs in, your jacks up, your shoulders, whatever. That's what I want to look like, at least in your mind. Are you with me on that, sir? Make sense? No? Okay, and if you want to gain weight, you can take a picture of yourself and just a little draw. Okay, that's what I want to look like. I'm not trying to be funny, but you got to say, what does it look like? What does it look like if I do what I'm supposed to do? A vision of business people is all different. Some people, their vision is just to have a lot of money. I'm going to do a business. I'm going to make surfboards because I want to be rich. It's hypothetical. Or I want to build technology that changes the world. So if my technology works, people are going to be better connected. People are going to be better informed. That is your vision, what you want to see what happens. When Christ looks at the church, he says, I made the church to make disciples, and if they make disciples of all nations, my vision is Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses to me. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In other words, you make disciples, and if you make disciples properly, and you spread out, you will be witness to me everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth are concentric circles. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In other words, send my disciples everywhere. That's what that means. Our mission statement, our business statement is save, equip, and send. Say it with me. Okay, some of y'all, I know it's the first time maybe you're hearing this, so we'll try it again. We're going to say save, and I'll say it before you so you know it. Say save.
Save.
Y'all get that little, say. Okay, it's a record, okay. Say, save.
Save.
I get saved, I ask Christ to be my Savior. Say equip.
Equip.
I get trained, not information, transformation. Big difference. It's one thing to have information in your head. It's another thing to be transformed by that information and experiences. We're talking about transformation, not information. Information is a student. Transformation is a disciple. So say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Equip.
Say send.
Send
is after, as you are being transformed, you are allowing that transformation to impact other people. It doesn't mean you have to go somewhere.
Well, I guess I got to go to Africa now and be a missionary in Africa.
You think people in Africa are unsaved? You know the more amazing, miraculous things that happen in Africa than the United States. You know that Africa is sending missionaries to the United States? Not for real. I know one. He has a church right here in San Diego. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to Africa, but your primary missionary field is right in front of you. It's right there. San Diego, your family, your job, your team, the team your kids play on, the team you play on, the softball team you play on, the water cooler, all the place where you your classmates, that's your missionary field. So if you ask Christ to be your Savior, the business, and by the way, church is called win, build, send, save us, you know, they call it different things. It's non-negotiable what a church does. Jesus says, I put you here for this reason. I want you to get people saved, and I want you to equip them, and then send them to go talk about me so other people get saved, get equipped, and get sent, and then you can transform the world. That's the church's purpose. Amen? That is a non-negotiable. If a church doesn't do that, God should shut them down. And the minute this church stops doing it, it won't be when I'm living. Shut it down. Simple. Okay? Now, we're going to read a story where a guy does that. Very simple, and it's so simple. He does that. Christ calls him to follow him. He follows him, and then he has a party at his house with all his sinner friends, and Jesus comes and talks to them. Simple. Y'all need to be doing that. Do not think coming here on Sunday is the whole point.
I'm going to church, and I go to the Rock, and I go, yeah, but it's not doing anything for me.
Well, how often you go?
Well, I went Easter. And I went that time when, you know, they opened that new building
7 years ago.
And
it's not about coming here. It's about being involved in the life. We have stuff every day. Not that you have to do stuff every day. You can't do that. It's about God transforming you and you taking the message of Christ to your world. And the power to share the gospel with people, to pray for people who are sick, to pray for people who are discouraged, whose marriages are falling apart, and to pray for people and encourage people with the same and comfort people the same way God comforted you. I did cocaine. I could talk to cocaine addicts all day. I've been there. I did smoke weed. I could talk to weed heads all day. I've been there. Potheads, whatever you want to call it, ganja, you know, whatever. What did God got you through? So in this story, a guy named Levi. Everyone say Levi. Or Matthew, he is a tax collector, and he's collecting taxes. And in their culture, a tax collector was one of the worst sinners because they legally stole from people. They legally took stuff from people that didn't belong to them, but the Roman government said, we just want our money, and any money you take over that, that's up to you. So it was legal in their culture to deny a tax collector entry into the synagogue, to lie to them because they were crooks. So Jesus is going to walk by, and Levi is going to be tax collecting. In the act of tax collecting. So I want you to imagine a tax collector and compare it to a drug dealer or a pimp or someone doing something illegal in our culture. Just, you know, not the same, it's the same thing, but you get the point. This is a person that people say, that is a bad person. Or someone doing a bad thing. Can I get an amen? Clear? Okay, let's look what it says in verse 27. It says, Luke 5:27, after these things, he, Christ, he's actually in the process of picking his disciples, by the way. He's walking through picking his disciples. He's actually healing people at the same time. And then he comes up and he says, after these things, verse 27, he went out and saw a tax collector. Everyone say tax collector. Tax collector. Named Levi, sitting at the tax office. And he said, follow me. Now, he didn't say, hey, Levi, you still smoking cigarettes? Hey, Levi, did you stop cursing yet? You asleep with your girlfriend? He just said, follow me. You ever notice that when, you know, when we got a dishwasher, I grew up in the age of no dishwashers. How many of y'all remember the days of no dishwashers? How many of y'all, well, I'm sorry, how many of y'all remember the days of no electronic dishwashers? Because we were the dishwashers. We had human dishwashers. How many of you had dishwashers all your life? Spoiled. But you ever notice with a dishwasher, they need to invent better dishwashers, because the dishwashers we have now, you spend all this money for a dishwasher, and we got this one, you can't even hardly hear it. It goes, I'm like, that doesn't do me any good, because I have to wash the dish before I put it in. Why can't I just eat what I want, just throw it in there just like that, and then do it? You got to wash it before you put it in. Some of y'all think God's like that. You got to clean yourself up before you come to God. No, you don't. God wants you just as you are. Now, he ain't going to leave you that way. Bring all your junk. In a minute, we're going to ask you to give your life to Christ. God wants you just as you are. The day I committed my life to Christ, I was doing cocaine the whole night. Laying on my couch, my heart was doing this, thought I was going to die. Because my friend died of a heart attack from cocaine. And I was, and I said, this is it. Jesus, I can't do this anymore. God said, good. He wants you as you are. So he says, Levi, come on. Now, there's people there. He's doing, dealing his stuff. Jesus walks by and says, follow me. Now, in our context, will you realize you're a sinner? If you realize you're a sinner, raise your hand. Keep your hand up real high. Everyone look around. You're not alone. If you see someone who has hands down, ooh. You want to pray for that brother or sister. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that you are a sinner and you can never be good enough on your own. Your goodness is not good enough. Because if your goodness could be good enough, Christ would not have had to die to pay for your sin. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. One out of every one people die because of sin. If there was no sin, you would not die. We were all meant to live forever. The Bible says that while we were sinners, with a death sentence hanging over our head, Jesus died for our sin. Your sin and my sin has a death sentence tied to it. Capital punishment. God requires our life for our sin. Jesus died in your place, and he rose from the dead. And he's saying, if you confess with your mouth that I am Lord, that I died and rose from the dead for your sin, I'll forgive you. We'll have a relationship. Come follow me. Follow me does not mean walk behind me in Jesus' context. Follow means says, let me have your life. And I will transform you to live like me. With your personality, your voice, your talents, your look, you will be, and you were made in my image will start to come alive in your life. So when people experience you, they're gonna experience more and more of me. It's Jesus talking. That's what follow him means. It doesn't mean he's not walking ahead of you. He's not here in the flesh. It means that he's gonna come into your life. He's gonna change the way you talk. He's gonna change the way you forgive. He's gonna change the way you love, the way you give, the way you serve. He's gonna change the way your attitude towards life, your vision for your life. He's gonna change the way how you're patient, how you're kind. He's gonna change you into his image. And people are gonna experience you and go, something's different. And it's Jesus. You are the first Bible a lot of people will ever read. I don't wanna say the only Bible, because hopefully if they read your Bible in your life, they want more. But as soon as you people know you go to church, they're going, they're going to have form an opinion. Doesn't matter whether they're forming that opinion is right or wrong. That's their business. But they're going to form an opinion. And they're going to watch you. If you say you go to this church or that church, just as they know the church, they're going to have another opinion because they heard something about the church, good, bad, or indifferent. But they're going to watch you. And what you want them to experience and see is not the church. Jesus. Amen. That's you. That's what he means by follow me. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, say no to your desires, say my yes to my desires in you. That's what follow him means. So he told Matthew, come follow me. And Matthew said, and look what it says. This is cool. It says, verse 29, he left all, rose up, and followed him. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to give your life to Christ or follow Jesus more than you are for all you who are Christians already. It doesn't mean you have to leave your job. Matter of fact, your job, like all jobs, probably needs some good Christians in it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're a drug dealer, God may want you to leave that job.
Yeah.
But God will show that to you. He left all, which means that in this case, he said, I'm leaving this. And I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And then it says, verse 29, he was saved. And by the way, equipping and sending happen simultaneously. It's not where you get saved, then you go to class for 5 years, and then you go do a missionary thing. Don't think of it that way. Think of it, I am getting equipped and being transformed while I'm being used of God. And when you think of send, don't think you have to go someplace. Think of God sending you to use somebody wherever you are every day. Now, we have classes here. We have our New Believers class starts once every month. We have Impact 195. We have a discipleship school. We have Rock University for classes. We have our Life small groups. We have over 800 small groups you can get in with small groups of people. Go online and find all this stuff. All that stuff's part of the equipping process, but it is not a class where you just get in for the formation. It's a class where you join the family, and we are all out there doing ministry in the community at the same time. So look what it says. It says, Levi, this is cool. He gets saved. Verse 29, he decides to follow Christ. In verse 29, Levi gave a great feast at his house. He had a party. We call this, Levi's Matthew, so we call this a marty. A marty. Matthew had a party. Come to my party. But he's from England, not really, but we like to say with an English accent, marty. Marty gave a great feast on his own at his house, and there were a great number of other sinners, tax collectors. Why? Those were his friends. How many of y'all got friends who are sinners? Sure, the market is there's a great market out there. Plenty of clients. It says there were a great number of tax collectors who sat down with them, by the way. You accept Christ? Who do I know that needs to know Christ? Just about everybody I know. Start talking about him. Hey, can I pray for you? Okay. And you don't even know how to pray. Real simple. I'm going to teach you how to pray right now. Just say this with me. Say, dear God,
dear
Bless my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. You know how to pray. Let's try that again. Let's say someone has the flu. Here's how you pray for the flu to be healed. It may not get healed, but at least you can do it. Ready? Dear God, please remove the flu from my friend, Julio. Only if his name is Julio. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. I got it. You got it. Read the Bible where Jesus prayed. He, a leper, he would say, be healed. Little girl, rise from the dead. Just like that. Lazarus, come forth. Okay? God bless you. Be encouraged. God loves you. Let it come out of your mouth. Levi had a party, and he brings all his friends, and he says, I want you to meet this guy. His name is Jesus. When I got saved, I went back home for vacation or whatever to visit, and I went over to a friend's house, and they were having a party. It was a party, and they were all upstairs smoking weed, and I didn't smoke weed anymore, so I said, I'm going to go downstairs. You remember this, Margaret? It's my sister. So I go downstairs, and I started talking about Jesus. I had no idea what I was saying. I mean, I should say I had no idea. I knew the gospel, but I didn't know anything. I was a new Christian. And all of a sudden, the whole party is downstairs around the table talking about Jesus. Were they arguing? Were we arguing? Margaret, were we arguing or are we arguing? He was heated. Okay, I don't remember that part because that was probably just so fun to me. I didn't really realize it was bad, but it was like, because that's how it was. I was an arguer growing up. I'm not saying you got to argue with people. That's what Levi did. He invited people to his world. And look what it says. Verse 30. And the scribes and Pharisees complained against Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? The scribes and the Pharisees were the religious snobs. Now, you are a religious snob, and I would imagine a group this size in all the church we have, there are religious snobs sitting out there somewhere. No, for real. We got everything in here. Wouldn't you agree? Well, it's a fact. You got 1,000 people, you got a little bit of everything. Okay? There's people here recording that's going, okay, we're going to say, look what Miles said, and we're going to put it online and whatever. Okay? We got everything you can imagine. We're good. God loves you anyway. It's cool. We're good. A religious snob is someone who is more concerned with being right than doing right. More concerned with information than love. You can always find fault in someone. That is not hard, and it doesn't make you a genius. What makes you a believer is to love them anyway and overlook that fault. And the religious came and saw Jesus with the sinners, and they said, what's wrong with your master hanging out with those sinners? And Jesus is chilling. And by the way, personally, as an evangelist, I prefer personally to be with people who are far from God than a bunch of Christians. That's just me. Not wrong with a bunch of Christians, but you're good. This is, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. This is how God made me. And then the other people want to be around Christians and just pour into them. Fine. That's why the body is diverse. The body of Christ needs all of us. And so here's Jesus, and look what he says. He says, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician. In other words, if you're righteous and perfect, you don't need God. Matter of fact, let's take a poll because we just want to know. Is anybody in here so perfect you don't need God anymore? Anybody? Oh, okay. I'll just make sure. East County, North County, microsites. I don't see any hands. Okay, that means we all need God. Can I get an amen? Very good. It said, Jesus says, those who have no need of a physician, those who are well have no need of a physician. By the way, Jesus says, I'm the great physician, just so you know. But I come for the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God has called sinners to repentance. So what are we supposed to do? Follow him. We accept him as our Savior. We are equipped and trained, and we learn and grow so we can go do what he did, which is call sinners to repentance, so we can go pray for the sick and encourage the poor and encourage the discouraged. That's what he did. And always with a loving heart, not with a critical heart. Remember, you're a sinner. There were two lines of people. One line of people going to heaven, and hell, and one line of people going to heaven, and all these people in line were crying, and all these people in this line were cheering, singing, and happy. And someone from the hell line looked over and saw a friend in the heaven line and said, what is that line? And this person said, we're all going to heaven. And he says, why am I not in that line? Because you need to ask Christ into your Savior as your Savior, and that's how we're going to heaven. And the person in the hell line said, why didn't you ever tell me? In a crowd this big, there are some of y'all who are guilty of that. Should never be. First thing, you got to say, Lord, I want to follow you. If you tell God, I want to follow you, he will take care of the rest. But if you're trying to dictate what God does in your life, are you a disciple? That's not a disciple. That's a religious snob. I know better than God. I don't want to do that. Okay. You better risk not getting in this line. Because there are people going to say, who are in this line, and going to say, hey, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And he's going to say, Matthew 7:21, I never knew you. You were deceived the whole time. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm going to challenge you and ask you to follow him. Some of you need to respond because you need to get saved for the first time by asking Christ to be your Savior. And some of you just need to say, you know what? I need to follow God. I need to do what he says. Because some of y'all are playing a game. You're hypocrites. You're not doing what you believe you should be doing. You're just playing a game. And God's like, let's go. There are too many people going to hell, and I need you. Remember, his vision is that we would all go out. We call it pervasive hope. Our vision statement here at The Rock is pervasive hope. What does that mean? Hope everywhere. For every way someone can be lost, we want to provide a way they can be found in a place they have ended up. Everywhere. Not just in this building, out there. So let's pray. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, all campuses, microsite. Let's pray. Some of you are Levi. You're sitting at your tax office doing your thing. And God is calling you. He's saying, follow me. Some of you have already prayed the prayer, but you're not following him. So really, did you pray the prayer? Did you mean it? Or have you forgotten? Or whatever, you want to follow him more faithfully. Whether you're Levi or you prayed the prayer and you need to follow him, pray this prayer with me now to commit yourself to follow. In the privacy of your heart, if you would like to surrender your life and follow him with all your heart, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know you have a plan for my life. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Please forgive me for doing my thing. I want to do your thing. I want to obey you. I want to submit to you. I want to live for you. Jesus, forgive me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, empower me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. And by standing, you are doing what Levi did. You are going to walk away from your old life, your old way of doing things. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer in any campus, microsite, wherever you are, if you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet right now and acknowledge. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 God bless you.